Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Recently, my good friend Billy and I were talking, and he was talking about how all these churches, a lot of them, conspire. He didn't use that word, but he's talking about how they get together and they use each other's tactics and stuff to make merchandise of the people, which is something the Holy Ghost warned us of through the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, where he talked about the false teachers and false prophets making merchandise of the people. 2 Peter 2 is all about false prophets and false teachers. Notice, the apostle begins, he says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." Now, notice that the Holy Spirit is declaring that there will be false teachers among you. That's from there and forward, 2,000 years ago. In fact, the Bible says in this last day that evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. So it's 2,000 years worth of false prophets, and it just keeps getting worse as we near the return of the Savior Jesus Christ. So there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So far he mentions false prophets and false teachers and guarantees that they will be among the people of God, who privily, that means secretly or insidiously, shall bring in, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, that means lies that damn the soul, such as covetousness and greed. Ephesians 5 says a covetous man is an idolater, and he has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 5. So they shall secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall, notice, many shall follow. Remember, Jesus says that many false prophets will arise in the last days and shall deceive many. And we're actually, the reason why we're deceived is because we walk in darkness. I was just sharing that with my good friend Billy also. In my life, as I look back on my Christian life, the things I did, the sins I committed, the wrong decisions I made were only because I was walking in darkness and have no one to blame except myself. Because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. And notice this, Ecclesiastes 7:26, "And I find more bitter than death." Wow, that's severe. When Solomon is saying he finds something, anything, more bitter than death? Wow. "And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets." Notice the descriptive language, the illustration, whose heart is snares, and she's got an agenda. She's operating in witchcraft. She's controlling and manipulating other people is what this is talking about. "Whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands to bind you. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her." So in this illustration, in this truth stated, we see that it's only the sinners, those walking in darkness, who will not escape from her, but those who please God will escape from her. Ecclesiastes 7:26, to illustrate this biblical truth. So many, Peter says, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, which refers to misrepresenting Christ. By doing what? Here it is. And through covetousness. Through what? Through covetousness. In our conversation, what was brought up is how the local churches are basically just, well, literally just businesses, and how they want everybody to give to them. One lady, Billy said, was shared with him that she came upon hard times and asked for help from the church. And they denied her, and she turned it on them and said, look, why do you always tell me to give by faith? Why don't you obey the word of God yourself and help me out? I'm in need. Another fellowship, which another false church, I should say. Well, I wrote this, and I wrote about this in the book called Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us, how this mother of three, she sat down and told me this herself, by the way, very earnest woman, and I didn't even ask her. She just knew I was writing that book, and she really thought that would help and shared it with me. She said she was feeding her three children cheese sandwiches. That's all they could afford, was basic white bread and a slice of cheese to fill their stomachs, single mother. And she went to this very affluent church, very affluent. This church was bringing in over $120,000 a week. That's a $500,000 a month. They have tens of millions stacked up in dollars, in assets and cash. They told this single mother with three children who needed help, and she went to them for help. They don't stop you from giving, but when you need help, it becomes a whole different story, and thousands of people across the country, and many of you can witness to this. So this is just one isolated situation, but it's very epidemic among these false churches who are conspiring to defraud the people. These are the false teachers that were warned about over and over and above. It doesn't matter how eloquent they are. It doesn't matter how nice they are. It doesn't matter if they have a degree or they've been in the ministry for 20 or 50, 100 years. That doesn't matter. They're false. Based on the fruit, you shall know them by their fruits. And so they told this lady, this single mother, that she was going to have to give up one of her household items, like one of her appliances, like a refrigerator or something like that, in order to get them so that they could sell it and make some money in order to give her some money. Unbelievable. This is unthinkable, folks. These guys have created so many subtle, insidious, deceptive ways to scam you out of money and yet not be there for you, God forbid, if you go through hard times. That's not the body of Christ. Now, there's some members of the body of Christ caught up in that, but these are like scam rings they're running, legalized scam rings. The people running these are false teachers. No other way to put it. They're absolute, and their damnation slumbereth not, is what he says here in verse 3. Notice, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of by their misrepresentation of Christ. When Christ, who never changes, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, was on earth, he had Judas as his treasurer. So they received money. They allowed people. They didn't manipulate or tell people they're going to get rich if they gave. No, they didn't do any of that, but they let people give because God rewards people who give. It'd be wrong not to allow people to participate so that they can be a part of it, because we are laborers together with God, 1 Corinthians 3:9, and we lay up treasure in heaven. That's part of the way we do it. It's not the only way, but as we take of what God gave us and give, we got to be careful that we're giving to where it's actually being used to get the word of God into the people's hearts. Boom. That's the foundation Jesus taught us in the end of Matthew, that you go teach all men my word. We need to teach the Bible, saints. And by the way, if they're not using the King James Bible, run. Don't walk. Run. Yeah, you heard me. We got a lot of that on the website, safeguardyoursoul.com. Just look under Bible versions issue. Those are corrupted Bibles. That tells you they're blinded right there. I don't care if it's everybody in the country. It isn't, thank God. But that it doesn't make it right. These are perverted versions of the Bible, and they're walking in darkness to use those versions of the Bible. That's a red flag. That's bad fruit. So if you're given to some place that's given out NIVs, yeah, 64,000 words removed. Right. You should stop that immediately. You're not going to be rewarded. And now that you're in the know of it, you're in the knowledge, you better be careful, because he warned us, if you bid Godspeed, if you support or condone any minister or ministry that is not declaring the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God and you're going to be punished with them. 2 John verse 9 through 11. Speaking of many deceivers, quote unquote, in verse 7 there in 2 John. It's only one chapter. Read it. Let me finish that one. We don't want to support false ministries. There's certain things we need to look for. They need to be putting the word of God out there, period. And that's really the main thing they're doing. That's what Jesus gave us to do in the Great Commission. He said, go teach all men all things I've taught you. Give them the word. Now we have it in print. The whole Bible, 66 beautiful, glorious books that all point to one Savior, and that we've all sinned against him and are in need of God's forgiveness through his blood. He gave us what we call the Great Commission to go teach the word. If they're not teaching the word and getting you to teach it and get into it, they're false. See, most ministries want to perpetuate their own existence. They want you to give there. They want you to be there. And they want you to keep coming. They don't want you leaving. They want you feeding their monster. And it's called greed. A covetous man, Paul said, Ephesians 5 again, who is an idolater, hath no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That could not be any clearer. They have run after riches, Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, and they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now notice 2 Peter 2:3 as we finish this passage. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words, fictitious, manipulating words, make merchandise of you. Let that ring in your ear, beloved. There are so many ministries that are just making merchandise of you. They're not taking that money. These guys live in gated communities. They got several vehicles that are 60, 80. Got to be kidding me, man. There's people in need, and these guys are, well, brother, they make their money from selling the books they wrote. Oh, really? So they're making money from lying to people in those books, because we know those kind of people aren't preaching the word. They're taking certain scriptures and using them out of context, this word of faith cult that's nothing but a greed-driven mob of conspirators that are misleading the people and leading them down the broad way that leads to destruction. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. And the only way you can see that they're misusing the scriptures, taking all of these things out of context, like touch not mine anointed and all that, and the wealth of the wicked's laid up for the righteous. So that means everything else in the Bible doesn't mean anything. God just wants to make you rich. So you got to learn all of scripture, folks. It takes a whole Bible to make a whole disciple. And the more you learn, the more you're going to start seeing it. Of course, you're turning your heart to the Lord. The more you're going to have conviction and discernment to rebuke and to run from these monsters, because they're making merchandise of you while they use feigned, manipulated, siphoned out of context verses of the Bible. Who was Paul talking to when he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Read the 4th chapter of Philippians. He's talking to those who gave obedience. And they didn't give to fund some man's enterprise. They gave to Paul, who was a man of God, who did the work of God. He ransomed his life, as all men of God do, though they be few these days among the many false teachers. Let me encourage you, beloved, find a man of God that is actually preaching the gospel, and he's not beholden to any headquarters except the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. That is our headquarters. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary, Jeremiah 17:12, whose conscience is convicted by and captive to the word of God with no compromise. Nobody's perfect. We understand that. At the same time, we should be really discerning and concerned about what we are supporting, because the Bible says some things about that, as I mentioned earlier, that's not going to be a reward and a blessing to you in eternity and even now. But it's going to be a curse to you, because if you support false prophets, you too are going to be damned with them. And make no mistake, as we're getting ready to read, they are going to be damned. 2 John verse 10 and 11, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, that is the doctrine of Christ he spoke of in the previous verse, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Do not bless him, do not support him, do nothing to support him. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You're going to be partaker. This ought to invoke the fear of God in every one of us. You are going to get the reward of those you support. And what did Jesus say concerning helping one of his servants? Matthew chapter 10, verse 41 and 42. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. The context of this is actually verse 40. We read 41 and 42. Jesus is teaching here, and he's teaching about rewards, etc. And he says, he that receiveth you receiveth me. He's telling his disciples who were preaching his word. In fact, earlier in this chapter, he sent them to do just that and cast out devils and heal the sick and to extend the extension of his work. That's what the Great Commission is. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So if they receive you as you are representing him by preaching his pure word, loving the truth of the word and putting it forth so people can learn it and get into it for themselves. If you do that, if you reward them or you supply them, he's going to reward you in a blessed way. One man wrote concerning this, to receive Christ's disciples would be tantamount to receiving Christ himself. And to receive him was the same as receiving the Father who sent him. Since the one sent represents the sender, to receive an ambassador who stands in the place of the government that commissions him is to enjoy diplomatic relations with his country. Jesus sent his disciples, and he said this in John 20:21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, when Jesus is talking here, he's talking about his true disciples who are giving you his true word. Right there in John 20:21, it's interesting because John goes on to say, as I've been quoting out of his one chapter book, 2 John, he says this, the elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Notice he loves those in the truth and also those who have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Notice the continual use of the word truth. Verse 4, 2 John, I rejoiced greatly that I found thy children of thy children walking in truth as we have received the commandment from the Father. So the heart of Christ was in this blessed, beautiful disciple whom Jesus loved, the Apostle John. And notice he rejoiced greatly that he found thy children walking in truth. A true man of God is desirous and prays and fosters and teaches in order to get you walking in the truth, not just getting you to come back to their little trough on Sunday mornings, repatronize their church business and drop your coin in the bucket because all they care about is nickels, noses, and numbers. And so many people that are in darkness, and I'm not condemning you, but I'm pointing this out, swear that they got this wonderful pastor right. In most cases, it's yeah, right. He's convinced you of that because you aren't deepening in the Word of God. You're not even in the Word of God every day, which just means you've already backslidden. Flashpoint, saints. Jesus didn't save you so that you could be a church member at some fraud's church business. That's not why he saved you. He said, you go out into all the world and preach the gospel. But we want to go sit in some comfortable building we're paying for. We gladly give so that we can get the coffee and the smoke rolling off the stage from the slick talker up there. Anyway, the whole thing is a scam. Look up a sham and a scam. Look up the category on Safeguard Your Soul called Modern Church. That's an eye-opener. So let's finish in 2 Peter 2:3 before we bounce to Ezekiel 22. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. If you don't think there are wolves in sheep's clothing that are smiling, got seminary degrees, and are very charismatic, and can even teach a lot of the Bible, you are utterly naive and gullible and deceived. Notice Satan in the Garden of Eden, the first false prophet on the earth, who caused the fall of man by lying to the people, by just adding one word, thou shalt not surely die. He added one word to God's word. That's why it's so important that you have a meticulous knowledge and be a student of the Word of God. And remember, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You better pay attention to every word of God. You better read the Bible every day. As every wise virgin believer is doing. That means those who are going to be with Jesus eternally. The five foolish virgins are the ones who got saved. They got engaged to Christ, but they did not continue with him and were shut out of the bridal chamber. Matthew 25:1-13. It's very important that we have astute, meticulous study habits and knowledge of the Word of God. It only took the addition of one three-letter word to cause the fall of mankind. Genesis 2:17 and 3:14. That ought to be scary. So he says here, through covetousness shall they with feigned words. See, they manipulate words. They take Bible verses out of context. And some of them hardly use the Bible. Other ones use scriptures here and there, but they take it out of context. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. They have an agenda, and that's to get your money. See, they're not going to teach on holiness and the necessity of personal holiness, or you're not going to be with Jesus. Be ye holy, for I am holy, Scripture says. Scripture says also, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. When is the last time you ever heard that taught in this so-called church? church building. 2 Corinthians 7:1, right there in the middle of the New Testament canon. Almost never going to hear it. Also, be ye holy, God says, for I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. When? When's the last time you heard that? Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Could it be any clearer than that? No. Again, Hebrews 12:14. This is just one little example. They're not going to teach the cross, which means they're not taking it up. And Jesus said, in order to follow him, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. Yet they're never going to tell you Jesus said this. See, every true man of God will stand up before you and hold his hands up like, dude, I'm just a man, but I'm going to tell you and read to you and preach to you what the Master, the God of the universe, the nail-scarred risen Savior, the Son of the living God, heaven's King of kings and Lord of lords, who's coming back soon. He said, if you're going to follow him, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, live the crucified life, that is, and follow me, or you're not following him. Luke 9:23 and 24. This is just a foundational sample of what's not being preached and how they intentionally dodge those things out and evade them, because that's going to run the dead wood off. That's going to run counterfeits off. So 2 Peter 2:3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. These are greedy wolves, saints. The Lord forewarned us over and over. Let's jump to 1 Timothy real quick before we finish in a short passage in Ezekiel 22. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Apostle Paul is speaking, and he says this. Let's pick up in verse, let's say 6, but this is 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. If you're godly and you have nothing but a pair of jeans and a shirt on tonight and hopefully a place to lay your head and your stomach's got something in it and you've had a little water to drink or whatever, thank God for it. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Notice the word contentment. Anybody who's not content is still greedy and covetous. Everyone listening to me that is not living a peaceful life, literally deep inner peace, and is worrying and covetousness, coveting. Well, I don't have this or that much in the bank. You got a full stomach. You got what you need today. You are blessed. You're rich, according to Scripture. But godliness with contentment is great gain. The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, thy word, and nothing shall offend them. Because those that love the word are reading stuff like this and reading all the admonitions and the exhortations and instructions about not being covetous. Thou shalt not covet. This will damn your soul. Notice in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation, or your way of life is what that means, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Again, the necessities of life are very basic things, and that would include what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, food and raiment, and perhaps you could say raiment or something to cover your body would extend also into somewhere to lay your head, hopefully. You can trust God to give you those things. You're His. David said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalm chapter 37, verse 25. So the writer of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit, through the man who wrote this book, says, let your conversation, your way of life, be without covetousness. Let's give God thanks for everything He's already given us. That right there wards off covetousness. God does not like covetousness. It's a sin that will damn your soul. Remember, Ephesians 5, a covetous man who is an idolater hath no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. That could not be any clearer. If you're coveting, you don't trust God. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You're not trusting God. Why don't you stop your life right now? Throw your hands up, kick your head back, and point it to heaven with your eyes, and let your mouth verbalize all the things you're grateful for. Because every blessing you've got came from God, including every morsel you've ever eaten, every sip and iota of water, and every breath. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Hallelujah. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content. This is a command. Be content with such things as you have. You already have so much. We all do. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, because Jesus is never going to leave or forsake his own, then we have everything, because he's going to divvy it out to you as he sees fit. And perhaps he's testing you and training you and causing you to have more faith in him. Maybe that's why he's not going to just dump a lot of money on you, because you would trust in that as your security. As the fool he did in Luke chapter 12. He stacked it all up in barns, like a lot of people today have all these investments and bank accounts, and they trust in that. And that Jesus said, you fool, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. And then what are all these riches going to do you then? What good are they going to do? Tell you what, there's people listening to me, they got money in the bank that are going to give account for not supporting the work of God and not helping the poor Christians. That's Bible. Not just any poor person, but most importantly, to help the poor saints. Paul took up a collection to help the poor saints at Jerusalem. The early church gave to each other, to the other members of the body of Christ. That's the first and foremost priority of God. Galatians 6:10. Let us do good unto all men. We ought to be a blessing to others that aren't saved. That's how we get them saved. We bless them with some food, Bible, minister to them, preach the word to them, etc. But first and foremost, our priority is to be the body of Christ. Let us do good unto all men, especially, there it is, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10, memorize it and live it, beloved. So Jesus is never going to leave us or forsake us. He loves his children more than can be described. You know how much we love our children? Did you ever realize how much of a fool you were until you had your child or your children? No. Every parent laughs and says, you're right. I mean, you will do anything. You become the best clown on the planet to get your child to laugh and to get them to respond. You are bazonkers. You're bananas over them. They're so precious to you. And yet, we're just men. Man, we're sinful men. Do we have a clue? No, we don't. We can't possibly have a clue as to how much God loves us. He dwells in a light that no man can approach. We read right here in the same chapter that we're going back to, 1 Timothy 6. He is love. We're not love, but his love is in us as we know him. It's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, Romans 5:5. But the thing is, we love our children so much. It's indescribable, isn't it? And yet, God loves us more than we could ever imagine. We can't even perceive this. We can get a glimpse of it, but I don't think we can even begin to perceive the depth and the length and the breadth of how much God loves us, Romans 8. Nothing can separate us from his love. And you think he's going to let you go? Yeah, we're going to suffer. Yeah, we are. There's going to be sufferings. We see it throughout Paul's life and ministry and others. But God's going to take care of you. You can trust him to do that. For we brought nothing, verse 7. Godliness with contentment is great gain, verse 6. Then he says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. We need to meditate on this, not just read through it real quick. And that's fine, too. Anytime you're ingesting the word of God. But stop to think about this. This is 1 Timothy 6. I want to encourage you to pour prayerfully over this whole chapter. Think about it. We didn't bring anything into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. We came naked and we're leaving naked. And we've got a post on that. Just put in the word naked in the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com. And it goes into detail about this. That is, the scriptures go into detail about it. So we came with nothing, we're leaving with nothing. In other words, look, why are you spending all your time entrenching yourself into this fleeting world? This is not your home. Why not take what you can here, what's given to you, and lay up treasure in heaven? Jesus didn't say don't lay up treasure. He just said, don't lay it up on earth, but do lay it up in heaven. Matthew 6:19-21. And he finishes by saying, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. See, wherever you're putting your treasure, like if you got all this money in the bank and in investments, I'm not saying all of that's bad, but God may convict you one way or the other. That's laid up on earth. That's temporary. That's not eternal. Some people like to use the term, send it before you. Well, that's summates what Jesus was saying. Don't lay up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust does corrupt. Thieves break through and steal. It's not going to have any eternal value unless you put it into the kingdom of Christ, into helping Christians that are poor, into supporting the real work of the ministry. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, that's clothing, let us be therewith content. You're rich if you got food and raiment. In a certain sense, you're blessed. Some people don't. But they that will be rich, notice not those that necessarily are rich, but those that will be rich, those that covet to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare or a trap, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, notice that continues to come up, doesn't it? While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So that's what we're talking about here. This conglomeration of church, people don't know, people that just go into those churches on Sunday morning, these guys work together and they borrow manipulating schemes and things like that from each other, and words, this whole word of faith cult, this whole NAR, and a lot of these churches of every stripe, they are a big money machine, and they don't care about the people. They're not enacting, they're not doing what the apostles of Christ did and the early church did by spreading the wealth out, not communism, but spreading the wealth out among the believers as every believer had need. And they've pierced themselves through with many sorrows, and some of that's starting to come out in these ministries, and some of us know about them. I'm not going to go into all that detail right now, but these people are hurting, man. They have pierced themselves through covetousness and greed. And the Bible says, as we read earlier in 2 Peter 3, that their damnation slumbereth not. If they're still doing it, they never repented, and they're going to hell. Their damnation slumbereth not. So where are they going to go when they die? They're going to be damned. They're going to be damned. That's hell. They're going to be damned into hell irrevocably as a false teacher who misled others. So in the early church, we see in verse 44 and 45 after Pentecost in Acts 2, all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. So this is before any wolves had any time to enter in and any heresies, really. This was what some would call the pristine state of the early church. Just a little window of time, perhaps, that everything was pure. There wasn't time enough for deceivers to enter in and heretical teachings and manipulations and making merchandise of people with feigned words, as we read in 2 Peter 2. So they were all together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. In other words, they sold the excess of what they didn't need and spread it around to other members of the body of Christ. That's the end of Acts 2. Then we jump to chapter 4, and let's start in verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. See, we're talking about financial system that God has ordained and how the flow of money should be and goods in the body of Christ. You don't run and give it to some so-called church house so they can just get fatter. If you got a brother or sister in need, give it to them. It'll never get to them if you don't give it directly to them. They'll have to go fill out some big old, whatever they call it, some 2 or 3 page thing on why they're actually needing the money and have they taken the financial stewardship class. And I understand that comes into play, but the way they frame that and manipulate that is evil. When people have need, the Good Samaritan that Jesus taught about, the Good Samaritan, he didn't say, why did you get beaten up and robbed by thieves? No. The priest and the Levite passed him up and didn't help him. Isn't that interesting? See, they were going to bring their money to the church. You ever heard this? We gave it to church. That's a Pharisee and a Levite. Hellbound hypocrite. No, the Good Samaritan, who is Christ and his true disciples, saw the man. This is Luke 10, I believe. He saw the man and he went immediately down to his knees and helped this man. He fed him and gave him a place to stay and even gave some extra money so he could stay a few extra days, etc. He didn't get his clipboard out and say, dude, what happened to you? Is this your fault? Incriminatingly questioning the guy. Totally ridiculous. He just gave and helped the man. Amen. Chapter 4, Acts 4, 34 and 35. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And that's where the modern church stops right there. But it keeps going. It says, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Interesting. See, they laid these down at the apostles' feet, but that's because the apostles of Christ could be trusted. And notice the apostles didn't say, oh, look at all this money, dude. We're in business here, dude. Let's rock this, man. Let's start building big buildings. Erect these orifices that basically become the idols so we can meet comfortably every week. That wasn't God's idea. A little bit later in Acts chapter 8 verse 4, it says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. God didn't want them centralized and in some building. How many people you know know that a good church members that actually even evangelize. It's a joke, isn't it? That's what the modern church has produced, and that is bad fruit. Some of you listening need to come out from among them and be ye separate and get before God, and you're going to find some evil, dark yokes that are going to begin dropping off your life, and you're going to walk in the liberty of the Lord, and you're going to be used of God in a great way. You don't need a local church. You need Christ and His body. First and foremost, you need Christ, and to be full of the Holy Ghost and full of the Word of God, and the fellowship daily, not weekly, with the members of the body of Christ. You don't need some building on Sunday morning for that to happen. When the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, that's not talking about, it didn't say go to church every Sunday. Those people get impressed with themselves because they're church members. Really? The early church met house to house daily, boy. What you got? Excuse my slang, but seriously, they met house to house daily. They couldn't get enough of Jesus. It was every day. They were consumed. If you want to get on fire for Jesus, you may need to leave. Come out of Babylon. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Set apart to the Lord. Fill with His Spirit. Fill with His Word. And fellowship with His real body, not just church members who aren't doing anything to advance the kingdom. They have no good fruit in their life. They're little church mouses. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Little wimps. Little cowards. And that's obvious. A lot of these people are part of the corporate world, secular world, and they
just follow along with all the orders. They told us to wear a mask. We're good little Christian people.
Are you kidding me? Were you born with a muzzle? Are you the temple of the state or the Holy Spirit? Real quick, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit if you're a true child of God, and you don't put a muzzle over your mouth. You were born, as we just read, naked. You had no clothing, and you definitely had nothing muzzling your breath. God made you to breathe fresh air. That's all about control, and you've submitted to the beast, and you need to repent and stand, regardless of what it cost you.
I might lose my pension and my money.
There you go. You're serving mammon, not God, and you're going to die and go straight to hell. You ought to say, Lord, I'm following you no matter who comes or who doesn't. Though none follow, I'm going to follow you and I'm going to do your will and I'm going to boldly declare your truth and stand in it. Because the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous aren't wimpy. The righteous aren't moral cowards. The righteous aren't light in the loafers, little pansies who conform to everything that comes down the pike. Now, I don't know how I got off of that, but that's the truth of God and the boldness of the Holy Spirit inside of true disciples who are not conforming to this world. By the way, the law of the land is the Constitution, and there is no need for a mask in the First Amendment. I dare them to arrest me. They'll have a $250 million lawsuit on their tail so quick they won't know what hit them. And you can do the same thing. That's the only reason why I say that. Get an attorney or a paralegal to do your paperwork, file it in federal court, and they will wish they never saw you because they're in trouble. The very least they're going to suffer is tens of thousands of dollars to have to defend themselves against this lawsuit. Bring it on, baby. Let me stop meddling and get back to this. So the disciples, the earliest followers of Jesus, they got rid of anything access. They sold it. They didn't give it away. They sold it secularly here and got the money and then laid it all down at the apostles' feet to advance the gospel. And the apostles were true prophets, if you will. They weren't false prophets. They didn't rub their hands together and go, oh, look at all this gold that's glittering, baby. We can go build us some big houses, build us church houses, and make a business out of this. See, that's what you got today with all these false teachers that litter the land here in America. These Christian people laid down the excess and the money at the apostles' feet because they could trust them. They weren't bidding Godspeed to false teachers. They were funding the true prophets, if you will, the true servants of the Lord, the Lord's apostles. And then what happened with the money? This distribution, here's the distribution system of the kingdom of Christ, the true body of Christ. Distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. They went ahead and pointed out actually they appointed in chapter 6, I believe it was 7 deacons to distribute the goods. So let's finish here, and we're going all over the place here about these things. But Ezekiel chapter 22, I want to read this to you because when Billy and I were talking, he was talking about how a lot of these churches conspire nationally and internationally, and these people borrow deceptive measures, and they behind the scenes, they're conspiring. I said, you know, the Lord told on these devils, and I read this to him as we close. Ezekiel 22, 25 through 27. If you look up this word that we're going to see here in this passage, conspiracy. That's a Bible word, folks. Conspiracy. The truth about conspiracy. If you put in the word conspiracy in the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com, you're going to find a couple of 3 articles or posts that are just explosive on this matter. But let me just read this passage into our ears. There is a conspiracy. conspiracy, the Holy Spirit says here. This is when Israel was backslid and their leaders were false and they were misleading them. Notice Isaiah 9:16. It is the leaders of this people that caused them to err. Wow. And those that are led of them or misled them are destroyed. Jesus talked about the ditch. Remember that? The ditch. And how false leaders will lead you straight into the ditch if you dare foolishly follow them. Matthew 15:14, let them alone, the false teachers, that is. They be blind leaders of the blind. That's a nugget. See, the blind leaders can only lead the blind. As we talked about earlier, and this is all coming back around, as only the Holy Spirit could orchestrate, you're only being led by blind leaders, false teachers. They're willingly blind, by the way. They're willingly deceived, the New Testament says. Let them alone. That means get away from them, run. Do not patronize them. Do not bid them Godspeed. Do not support them. They be blind leaders of the blind. Blind leaders of the blind. See, the blind leaders can only deceive and mislead the blind. And what happens when that happens? See, if you're walking in darkness, you're not walking in the Word. You're walking in darkness. Because it's the Word, the entrance of His words that giveth light. Psalm 119:130. Memorize it and meditate on it. The entrance of His Word. If the Word is not entering your heart and mind every day, you're walking in darkness. See, because when you're in the Word, when you're reading the Bible, the bright light of heaven, the beaming light of heaven through the Word of God is shining into your dark heart and mind and enlightening you, Psalm 119. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Sometimes we hear people making excuses for those that are deceived. They say, well, they're just deceived. No, they're willingly deceived. And if you're deceived or I'm deceived, it's willingly because we have a Bible. Very simple fact. You got a Bible. You don't read your Bible and heed your Bible, then you're willingly blind. It's your fault. Half the times when people need ministering to, and I understand this, we've all been there, and I'm not condemning anybody. They just need to go get in the Word. That's always the answer. Always. You're going to find the comfort of the Lord. You're going to find the consolation of the Lord. You're going to find the enlightenment of the Lord, the light of the Lord. Everything is in the Word. All things that pertain unto life and godliness are found in the exceeding great and precious promises of the Lord our God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Let's finish here. Ezekiel 22:25-27. There is a conspiracy of her prophets, false prophets, that is, in the midst thereof, right in the midst, like Paul talked about it to the Ephesian elders in chapter 20 of Acts. They'll enter in among you, not outside, right in your midst. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst, right in the middle thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. Isn't that interesting? This is where Jesus got the language where he said, many false prophets shall arise, that shall deceive many. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Oh, they look good on the outside. They're smiling. They got those crystal blue eyes or whatever, and they look like totally pure-hearted people. And many of these same guys are wolves in sheep's clothing. But they have the outward garb, and that's what he warned us about. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Meditate on that sheep's clothing. What does that mean? That takes in a lot. That's the outer. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew 7:15. So Ezekiel said at first, he said, like a roaring lion ravening or devouring the prey. Is this conspiracy of false prophet? He identifies here. It's a conspiracy. They have devoured souls. There it is. That means they're sending souls off the cliff straight into hell irrevocably. The blind are leading the blind. Blind leaders leading the blind. But those that are blind, whether they're leaders or the prey, P-R-E-Y, they're willingly blind. Because if you repent and turn your heart to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You begin to see clearly now, the rain is gone. Right? Remember that song? I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. When you stop your life today and you get alone with God and you raise your hands and tell Him how much you love Him and you shout your praise to the Lord your God in the name of Jesus Christ, whose blood gives you access to the throne of grace, and you celebrate Him, you have you a 30-second or 2 or 3 minute praise festival. You go crazy and glorify God, externalizing the praise and the thanksgiving of your heart and asking Him to wash you clean and give you discernment and take away your sins and iniquities. Something's going to happen. The veil is going to be removed. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Lock it in. Learn it. Memorize it. Own it. Walk in it. When it shall turn to the Lord, he's talking about the heart, the veil shall be taken away. That's what happens when you seek God. No one that is deceived is unwillingly deceived. They are willingly deceived. They are willingly blind. Repent, and the times of refreshing are going to come from the presence of the Lord. You want to be refreshed? Repent. See, we got a whole lot of resurrection preaching going on, if you will. A lot of people promising all kinds of good things to people out there, but there's no cross in it. And guess what? Good things aren't coming to anybody that's not denying himself, taking up the cross and following Christ. You are being deceived and played like a fool. I got a feeling that all the good things are right around the corner. You know, every week, people like Joel Osteen and the wannabe Joel Osteens on the local level who want to build their church business. They're lying to people. God's going to bless you. God is not going to bless you until you obey him on his terms, which are not going to change. They're non-negotiable. God will not change. I am the Lord. I change not. Malachi 3:6. Repent. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Christ. And he is going to raise you up. But it's only if you die. Death and burial has to precede resurrection. So anybody promising you all these blessings, when they're not teaching you to die to yourself, is a complete wolf, 100%. Run. If your pastor's not preaching that you have to die, Jesus said it, not him. He's a false prophet. Now, if you'll sit back and think about how many pastors you know, or if you know any that preach the cross, it's really going to come into focus of what Jesus said, that many there be which go in thereat, down the broad way that leads to destruction, Matthew 7:13-14, and how he said there are many, not a few, many false prophets that are going out among you. The Bible never said there are many true prophets. Do the math. By deduction, we know from Scripture that most people pretending to be representing Christ are misrepresenting him, and there it is. They're not preaching the cross. They're enemies of the cross of Christ because their God is their belly, Philippians 3:18-19. Ezekiel 22:25, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst, right in our midst, thereof, like a roaring lion, ravening or devouring the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. Give us your gold, and we'll tell you about God. We'll give you a little story. We'll preach fables, stories to you. Notice, remember how this gels with 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not hold themselves accountable to sound doctrine. Will after their own lust. See, they won't repent and deny themselves, take up the cross, follow Jesus. Therefore, they have lust in their heart for the things of the world, and they will heap to themselves teachers having itching. They will go supply. See, it's only the counterfeits that are supplying and bidding Godspeed and supporting these vile wolves who are telling them what they want to hear. The true disciple wants to hear the hard things of God, the rebukes. Preach the word always, instant in season, out of season, and reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. I don't know about you. I'm not going to sit under somebody's ministry. It's not going to preach the word to the point where it's bringing conviction to my heart. That's not a man of God. That's a fraud. That's a spineless moral coward who is just tickling your ears, as Paul's saying here. There in 2 Timothy 4:2-4. They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall be turned away from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. This is all consistent with the prophets taught, what Christ taught, and what the apostles taught. Her priests, this conspiracy of false prophets, have violated my law. They have violated the word of God, and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. You cannot tell the difference between a lot of these good church members and the lost folks out there in the world. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes, again, that's another dimension of leadership. So far he addressed prophets, priests, and now princes in this passage. Her princes, all levels of leadership, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening or devouring the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. Bam! There it is again. They make merchandise of you. Here, Ezekiel uses the term, they do all of these things to get dishonest gains. God bless you, my friend. Let's pray before we get off of here. And regardless of the ineptitude of myself to communicate this message, I hope you hear the word of God and what he's saying to your heart today. What Jesus says, that we are to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches in the book of Revelation. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would rebuke us, God, that you would circumcise our hearts and grant us repentance unto everlasting life, to repent afresh and bring words of confession for the evil and the blindness of our own hearts, Lord, because we have not sought you with a whole heart. Father, forgive our sins and cleanse us, Lord, and bless us to be established in thee, O God. Multiply your grace to our hearts and give us ears to hear what you say to our hearts and to the church, your people, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.